the new covenant in God's love. And this is part three, if you've been following the series. And I've got some scriptures somewhere in my Bible which have disappeared, but they'll come back sometime. Let's go to the book of Galatians. Book of Galatians. And chapter 3. I think it was 2 weeks ago. It seems a long time ago. I was away in Poland last week, and I want to thank you for your prayers, because for me it was probably the greatest trip that I've made in the Holy Spirit, really. Because when I went to this city, the Lord gave me a word, some prophetic words for Poland, and it didn't matter even if I didn't see anyone. I released that word over Poland, but I was able to release that word to quite a number of people. And also into the city where we went. It's a big city. About 700,000 people live in this city. And it was just in God's time. And also when I came to the church also, it was a timely word that we brought into the church as well. So some things really turned around last week in Poland. And we're planning to go back, in the Lord's will, in the autumn, to do a conference out there. But I want to thank you for the prayers, because I was very conscious, as we are, that those of us that minister in the Word, that you're always conscious if people are praying for you. Because it's like there's a supply that's coming through that, you know, isn't you, it's the Holy Spirit in you. And what the Holy Spirit does is he actually begins to flow through you. And all you have to do is be faithful to him and tune in to him. And if you've done your preparation in prayer and studied the Word, you take what God's given to you, but then normally God will change it all around anyway. I did all this study on one particular day, and the Lord said to me just before the meeting, "I don't want any of that." Blow. I've just spent about 2 hours doing all of this. But what I had been doing is preparing my heart. Yes. And when you're bringing the Word, whether you're going out sharing the gospel with people, whether you're speaking in a group or ministering the church like this morning, the important thing is that we prepare our hearts. You know, that's the most important thing. And the second thing is that we prepare in the Word of God. And then the Holy Spirit has the rights. It's like he's redeemed us with his blood, so we're his. So we're not our own, we've been bought at a price. And he's got the right to change anything he wants to. That's why in the Sunday morning meetings, I want to be very sensitive to the Holy Spirit. That's why we have a number of different people doing things in the meeting. So it's not just me, it's the Holy Spirit ministering through Jerry, or ministering through Annie, or ministering through others that came up here this morning, and ministering to one another. So it's the Holy Spirit doing the work. So Jesus gets the glory. Amen. And that's why we exist here as a church. And God is speaking to us about living in his covenant love. And I shared the other week, gave you a whole load of scriptures. And if you didn't get the CD, maybe order the CD, because it's got those rich scriptures all about the covenant as it was in the Old Testament. And then the new covenant that God has brought us into through Jesus, how he's brought us into a new covenant with himself. And let's just read Galatians chapter 3, and we're just going to take it a little bit further this morning. And we'll read at Galatians. Let's read verse 26. It says, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus." Amen. You're all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. When we got born again, we became sons of God. We are sons of the kingdom. And if you regard yourself as a son, not the son, you know, in Polish, the guy was translating, and one of us, I can't remember whether it's me or Jonathan Dyke, but one of us used the term Son of God. And we actually used the word, I am a Son of God. And in Polish, the words are slightly different. And actually, so I saw him, he struggled with actually bringing this word, because the actual word was, I am the Son of God. All these Polish people were kind of looking at us like, what is this sect? You know, what's happening here? Where are they leading us? And so we corrected it. But we are sons of God. Jesus, the Son of God, is living in us. And we have rights as sons of God because Jesus paid the price with his precious blood and brought us into a new covenant. And I actually think that we probably just know just a very little bit about this new covenant. And that's why we're not living up to the full measure of victory that God wants us to live in. Right? If you know your covenant rights, if you know what God's given to you, and if you understand the new covenant that Jesus brought you into, you're going to live as a son. You're going to live as a son of the Father's house. And all the blessings that are in Christ Jesus, and all the good things that God has given to you out of his blessings and his authority will begin to flow through your life, not just to bless you, but to bless all those around you. And so it's the way that the kingdom of God advances through us when we know that we not just know it, but we're living as sons of God, living as sons. It says here in 26, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek, neither slave nor free. There's neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. That's interesting, isn't it? Doesn't say you're going to be one. It says you are all one in Christ Jesus. That means that God has already made us one in him. Amen. So when we aren't one together, it's nothing to do with what he's done. It's to do with how we're living. But it says that you are all one, united in Christ Jesus. So we need to live in that oneness. And if you're Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and your heirs according to the promise. And just go back to verse 13, please, and 14. Verses muddled up here this morning. It is verse 13. It says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it's written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. That was Jesus. Jesus became the curse for us. And he brought us into a new covenant. Here we read about in verse 14 that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles, that's us, in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. What's the word saying to us here? It's saying that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the old covenant law. The law, we spoke about it last time, told us all the things that God expects us to be and all the things God expects us to do, but shows us we can't do it. It shows up our sinfulness. That's why the law was written, to show us that God's standard and how God is very different than how we are. And that's the old covenant. And the old covenant was there to show us how much we needed him. And then Jesus comes, God comes in Christ, and Christ redeems us from the curse of the law and became a curse for you and a curse for me by taking our sins on himself on the cross. And then it says, so that the blessing that he'd spoken over Abraham might come upon you and upon me and upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus. So God made a promise to Abraham that went down through to Jesus Christ when he came upon the earth and died upon the cross and shed his blood and got raised again from the dead. And it's so that we might receive, and now this is what the new covenant is all about, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Amen. So the new covenant is all about receiving the promise, right? The promise of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, through faith. So we could just walk out of this morning's meeting and say, I've got it now. That's what the new covenant is all about. The new covenant is all about us receiving through Christ Jesus the promise of the Holy Spirit through faith. Mm-hmm. God has given us a tremendous promise in the new covenant. That when we get born again, he gives us his spirit. Doesn't just give us a good feeling, doesn't just say, I'll forgive you, and you have to work out your the rest of life on your own. He says, now I'll give you a promise. I give you the promise of my Holy Spirit. It's going to come upon you and it's going to come and live in you. And this promise of the Holy Spirit is going to set you free. This promise of the Holy Spirit is going to enable you to live a life of victory. This promise of the Holy Spirit is going to enable you to think differently. This promise of the Holy Spirit is going to enable you to feel different about yourself. Amen. This promise of the Holy Spirit is going to enable you to live in such a way that it's not you trying to give up smoking or drinking or, you know, some of the things that, some people struggle with. Or let's go, perhaps for those that have been saved for many years, perhaps it may be anger or living in peace or frustration, you know, lots of different things that we go through. But the Holy Spirit is the promise of God. And because he's living in us, we have the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead living on the inside of us this morning. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, the Holy Spirit is living inside of you and me this morning. And this promise of the Holy Spirit is the key to living in the new covenant. Because the new covenant blessings is, or great blessing, is bound up in this one promise, the promise of the Holy Spirit has been given to us. And we need to open our hearts wide and just say, thank you, Lord, that I've received the promise of the Spirit in my life through faith. And it's through the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ Jesus, that every victory is yours. Amen. It's through the Holy Spirit that we can witness. It's great hearing Dave talk about that this morning. It shows that we need Christ. We need the Holy Spirit. We need to pray in the Spirit. We need to depend upon the Holy Spirit if we're going to be effective in our witness to those that don't know him. Because we're in a battle. We're in a battle that Christ has already won, and God has given us weapons to win with as well. The promise of the Spirit. Just go back to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 31 and verse 31. 31:31 is and this is a prophecy. I can't remember how many years it was written before Jesus came, but it was a good few many, maybe 500-600 years. Before Jesus came, and it's talking about, it's a prophecy about the new covenant, and explains what Jesus wants to do in each one of our lives, that he wants to give us his Spirit, so his Spirit will flow like a river of living water on the inside of us, and begin to water us every day, and hopefully, as we let the Holy Spirit rule and reign in us, that we'll be able to water other people's lives as well, in the workplace, which is where most of us are in the week, in our homes, with our families, with our neighbours and friends, and wherever God chooses to send us. It says, behold, the days are coming. This is verse 31 of Jeremiah 31. The days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant. Just say new covenant. New covenant. With the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after these days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write this law on their hearts. He's talking about the law of the Holy Spirit. God wants to write his law, the law of his words, of his truth, through the Holy Spirit on our minds. And he wants to write these laws, the law of liberty, the law of freedom, in our hearts. And he says, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is the talking about the new covenant, that God is going to write a law in our minds. And, you know, when we got born again, we received the law of the Spirit of life came into us. And this law has been written into our new mind, our renewed minds that we have in Christ Jesus. So we begin to think actually how Christ thinks. Amen. That's why as you read the Word of God, by reading the Word and reading it daily, you get into how Christ thinks. Now you have the Spirit of Christ living in you. And what actually happens is as you read the Word of God, it's a little bit like an echo, because inside of you, you have the Spirit of God. And what happens is your spirit reads the Word. As you read the Word, you receive the Word, and something resonates, harmonizing between this word on the page, goes into your spirit, into your heart, And the Spirit of God takes hold of that word inside of you and it harmonizes with God and says, yes, this is mine. Faith rises because you have the Spirit of God in you. Amen. That's why it's important to read the word, because the reading the word of God just releases what you've already got on the inside of you in Christ Jesus. This is making sense. The Holy Spirit, when he came into your life, when you got born again, you received everything that you needed the moment you got saved. Now, I wasn't taught that when I got saved. I was taught that you had to work for it. You had to do lots of things. You had to climb this horrible ladder called works to get into God's good books. It's called works. Works of the law. But I discovered when I got filled with the Holy Spirit that when the Holy Spirit came and filled me with the presence and the love of God and the power of God, I discovered that I've got everything in the Holy Spirit living in me. Amen. It's just that we don't realize it. It's just that we don't know how much he's given to us. That's why we need the word of God to show us what he's actually put on the inside of you. And to show us what to do with what he's put on the inside of us. Wow. It's called the new covenant. And this new covenant that he's made, he's promised that he'll never leave us, he'll never forsake us, but he's promised to look after us and to care for us as a father because we're his sons, and to enable us to walk with him in victory because we're sons of the kingdom. Amen. And so the Holy Spirit has written these laws in our minds. And there's a scripture, an interesting scripture, it says that we have the mind of Christ. Yes. Now it's talking about your spirit. It says we have the mind of Christ. It's not just talking about your brain. It's saying that we have the mind of Christ. You have the mind of Christ in your spirit, man. In your spirit. And what happens is as you read the word of God and use your mind, what happens is what God has put of the spirit of Christ, of his mind, is filtered through your heart, as it were, into your mind, into your brain. And you begin to download, if you like, and understand the things that God has put in your spirit. That's having the mind of Christ. This is making sense. We have the mind of Christ. And God wants us to live by this, by his mind, by his spirit that's living in us. And the Holy Spirit's work is to show you all that Christ has freely given to you. That's what the word says. He wants to show you all that he's freely given to you in the new covenant, so that your mind is daily being renewed. And as our minds are renewed in the truth of the word of God, as our minds are renewed, as we obey what he asks us to do, we become transformed. This is very good news. Wives, for your husbands, and husbands for your wives, or for your friends, and for those in this church, it's good news because the Holy Spirit is the one that wants to change our minds, renew our minds with the truth. And as our minds are renewed with the truth, we become transformed. We become the people that God has actually made us to be. Sons of God. And we begin to live as sons under this tremendous anointing of the Holy Spirit who's living in us. This is making sense. And we are ministers. The Bible says we're ministers of the new covenant. We're ministers of this new covenant. So we are to minister out of the Holy Spirit. This is the whole point, that we're to minister out of the Holy Spirit. So the Christian life isn't us trying harder or spending more time in prayer, because you could actually pray in tongues for an hour and do it by law. Yeah. That won't do a jot. That's right. It'll just drive you crazy. But if you let the Holy Spirit do it and you take those small steps to start with by praying for a couple of minutes, then the Holy Spirit will actually take over and enable you to pray in the Spirit with him. And that's something totally different. And he can enable you to pray for a long period of time where you can meet with him and begin to... When we pray in tongues, it says that we declare the mysteries of God. We're proclaiming the things that God is speaking. Oftentimes, we don't even understand all that we're saying, but we're proclaiming those things. They're flowing through us. And that's what makes the difference. And so the Holy Spirit is written these things in our minds and in our hearts. And because the Holy Spirit is living in us... The new covenant that he's given to us of giving us the Spirit is the Holy Spirit wants to reveal more and more of Jesus Christ to Les.
Please.
More and more of the Holy Spirit to Marcia. More of the Holy Spirit to William and to Kevin and to all of us. He wants to reveal more and more of who Jesus is. That's the job of the Holy Spirit, to show us who we are. So more of him, and also to show us who we are in Christ Jesus. So today I regard myself in a completely different way than how I used to think about myself. I don't think of me as I used to be. It's like that doesn't even exist. I think of myself in Christ. And Christ Jesus is my identity because his spirit is one with me. He's in me. He's part of me. I'm one in him. And he wants us to have that fellowship, that communion with him where we are more attuned to him than we are even with ourselves. And it's a place of freedom when we are walking with God and he's walking with us. It's a covenant that God's called us to walk in. It's a covenant of victory that the Spirit has given to us. So he's given us the Holy Spirit to walk in this way. It's awesome. Turn with me to 1 Peter, please. 1 Peter chapter 1. And verse 13, it says here, are you ready for action this morning?
Yes.
Good. It says, therefore, gird up, it says the loins of your mind. Get ready for action is the, if you want it in down-to-earth English, get ready for action. Be sober. It's talking about the mind, readiness, being alert. And rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former desires as in your ignorance, in other words, how you used to live, don't go back there. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Covenant. God's given us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's been given to us to enable us to walk in a holy way. Not a boring way, a holy way. Because if you live in holiness, you're living in joy, you're living in peace. And you're living in a clean way, a pure way before God. And it says, be holy in all your conduct. Why? Because the Holy Spirit's in you. That's your new nature. Your new nature today is holy. God's making you holy. In your spirit, you're holy. You've got the Holy Spirit. You've got the Holy Spirit of Christ living in you. God's made a covenant with you. The new covenant is I've given you my spirit. I've made you holy. So just look around the room this morning. Just have a quick look around. Have a quick butchers. Right, we're all totally different people. Right, we all come from different backgrounds. Right, we've all, some of us have, perhaps some in this room have had a very good education, perhaps some haven't. But it makes no difference to the Lord. He loves each one of us exactly the same. And he's given us exactly the same Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit has made you a holy man or a holy woman of God. He's made us holy. And he says, because you've got the Holy Spirit, I will enable you to walk holy. You haven't got to try, you've just got to submit to the Holy Spirit who's living in you and you'll walk in holiness. You say, is it really that easy? Yes, it is. It really is that easy. We've got the Holy Spirit living in us. And I reckon that some Christians are walking around, they don't realise that the Holy Spirit is living in them. They've piled on top of, of the Spirit is all this rubbish and stuff that is pressed down over the top of them. But underneath it all, there's the Holy Spirit. And he's wanting to bring tremendous release into each one of our lives and into us as a church so that the Holy Spirit isn't buried. He's not hidden away there somewhere. He comes out every now and again when it's good. But the Holy Spirit's coming out, beginning to come out all the time. Is this making sense? You have the Holy Spirit living in you. He is the Holy Spirit and he will enable you to walk holy. And the great thing about holy people is they're always full of joy. Full of joy, full of peace, full of hope, full of faith. Holiness. Holiness is the quality of what God's really like. It's the quality of his life. It's who he is. God is holy. And that holiness, that holiness of his presence is inside of you this morning. Because you've got the Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah.
And the Holy Spirit will enable you to walk holy in a holy way. And the Holy Spirit makes us whole. Makes us free.
Amen.
Because he actually makes us whole in every part of our lives, spirit, soul, and body. Now that's freedom. That's healing to the whole man, healing to the whole person. That's what Jesus did for you and me at the cross. That's why he suffered in every way. He suffered physically, he suffered mentally, He suffered emotionally. He suffered everything that you could possibly think of. He suffered, and he bore it for us and broke that curse at the cross so that you and me today, in 2009, can walk free in those different areas of our lives, mentally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. In every sense of the word, we are free. Amen. Amen? The word says in Galatians, it says that it's for freedom that Christ... What does it say? Christ has. Christ has set us free. Not he's going to set us free. He has set us free. You say, well, I don't feel particularly free. No, but he has set you free. You say, well, I'd like to know what that freedom is like and what it feels like. Well, you can. Because he has already set you free. That freedom is already yours. That's what he's saying. He's saying that freedom is yours. It's a little bit like being in a prison, holding on to the bars of the prison, desperately trying to come out, desperately wanting to come out of the prison. But behind you is a door. And that door is open. And that behind that door is full of brilliance, full of light, full of glory, full of the presence of God. And what a lot of Christians are doing today is they're holding on to these bars of their past. They're holding on to their bars of unforgiveness. They're holding on to their bars of their problems and difficulties. They're holding on to the bars about something. And Jesus is saying all the time, it's for freedom. Amen. I've set you free. It's for freedom I've set you free. It's for freedom I've set you free. Let go of your bars. Turn around. It's called repentance. Come back to me. Run to me. Be forgiven. Let my blood wash you completely. I'm here for you. Come out of your prison. It's for freedom that Christ has, past tense, set us free. Amen. It's yours. Now that freedom is in you. That freedom is in you.
Amen.
That freedom is really in you. And it's in me. That freedom is in us. It's the freedom of the Holy Spirit. He's in you. He's in you. He's in you. He's in you. And he's in me. He's in us. The Holy Spirit is in us. Amen. That's where he is. Hallelujah. Verse 18 says, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct, but you were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, New Covenant, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead, and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. It's the New Covenant.
Yes.
All right, through Jesus we believe in God, who raised him from the dead, and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Verse 22, now just get hold of this, verse 22 and 23. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. I'm just going to read that verse again because I've been in this verse a few times this week. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but you've been born again of incorruptible seed. That's the word of God, which lives and abides forever. And we're talking about the new covenant. We're talking about living in the new covenant of his love. And this is what God said to me for us as a church. He said, particularly verse 22 here, because of what Jesus has done. Remember, the Holy Spirit's in you and in me today. It says that we purify our souls. Now, our soul, the soul is the person that you are. It's your personality. Your soul is your mind and your will and your emotions. It's the person that you are, okay? And it says here, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth. So if you obey the truth of God's word in all kinds of ways, if you're living in obedience to God, the effect of that is the Holy Spirit will actually purify your soul. You're going to walk clean. You're going to walk free. Your soul, the person that you are, is going to be purified by the blood of Jesus and by the Holy Spirit's power. You're going to walk in a sense of his presence, and that brings wholeness to you. It means you can walk in peace instead of walking in pieces.
Yeah.
It means that you can walk with the presence of God on the inside of you. It doesn't matter what happens and it doesn't matter what the circumstances are. God's peace is in you. Because the Holy Spirit isn't about to leave you and let you go. He's put his Spirit in you this morning. You have a choice whether you obey God and walk in that peace or not. But we have to let the peace of God rule and reign in our hearts. You have to let him do that. Amen?
Amen.
You know, when Jesus walked into the room after he got raised from the dead, he suddenly just appeared, it says, in the room. The room was locked. Appeared to the disciples. What's the first thing he said?
Peace.
And he actually, when he spoke the word peace, that peace which is full of power and full of wholeness was ministered to those disciples who were full of fear and anxiety and worries. But they had to let that peace come. I'm sure they did. I'm sure the moment you stood in that room and spoke those words, they received it. But it's the same for us. He's standing in you today. We've got a great advantage over those disciples in that room, is that he is actually standing in you today through the Holy Spirit. It's called the new covenant that the disciples are just coming into. That Jesus is standing in you this morning. He's living in you. His Spirit is in you this morning. He wants you to experience what it is for him to speak peace, and you experience the peace of God, which actually ministers to your mind and your emotions and your whole being. Does it make sense? And so it's saying here, since you've purified your souls in obeying the truth. So every time you obey God, your soul gets purified. I mean, little things. I mean, like things like, I'm thinking of us at home, Claire and myself at home, like little things that will help her at home. Like walking past a bag of rubbish and leaving it there because someone else can do it, and then getting convicted halfway down the hall. No, that's for you to do. Two voices, the Lord's voice, and then I hear my wife's voice. But God wants to train us so that we respond quickly, not just to our wife's voices, our wife's voice, but we're responding to the Holy Spirit who's living in us, obeying the truth, following the promptings of God. Right? God prompted me the other day, there's a couple of us, we went to visit someone. I had no plans to visit this man. It wasn't on my thing for the week, but God told me that was the most important thing to do during the next hour. So we went to visit, and it was a very timely visit. It was the right time to go and visit him. What's that? Obeying the Spirit of God. And the effect of obeying God, it says that you will be purified in your soul.
Amen.
In obeying the truth. Who is the truth?
Jesus.
Where's he living?
Amen.
The Spirit of truth, the Spirit of Christ Jesus living, if we've received him in our lives, is living inside of us. And so we need to obey the Spirit of truth living inside of us, because he's speaking to you all the time.
Amen.
He's speaking words of encouragement, he's speaking words of life, he's speaking words of love, he's speaking words of strength, he's speaking words of direction, he's speaking words not just to you, but to you for others.
Amen.
It's just that we're not tuning in perhaps as much as we ought to be. But he's living in there. And it says this, it says that as we walk this way through the Spirit, through the Holy Spirit, right? That's the key. He's living in it. The new covenant, the Holy Spirit's been given to us so that we can walk in victory. It says that through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brothers. Now just have another look round. I know there's quite a few people who aren't here this morning, but just have a quick look round this morning. God wants you to have a sincere love for everybody in this room this morning and those that aren't here too. Now that word sincere, I looked it up, it means to, Les, stand up a minute. The word sincere, if I'm being sincere to Les, and let's try and think of a good example, and he's standing there, and there's a great gap here between us, and he needs to get from there to here. What I'm going to do is I'm going to actually reach out to him, but there's a distance here. I'm going to strain, it means to strain forward, to reach out to strain out, to really press forward and to strain, to bring him over. Amen? That's what the word means. It means to stretch out. In the same way that if you're going to win a race, you have to stretch out, particularly on the winning tape. You stretch yourself out. You lean forward, don't you? And this is what the Spirit is saying. He's saying that I want you to love one another in a stretched out way, sincere love. You're stretching out. That means it may be a bit painful to do it. It means you're going a bit further than what you would comfortably like. Sincere love. It's saying that we should, you've purified yourselves in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren. So what is God saying? He's saying, I've brought you into a new covenant of love with myself, he's saying. I'm your father and you're my son, you're my sons. And now I want you to demonstrate that same love that I have for you for one another. I want you to be living out of this love for one another. It's called the sincere love of the brethren. And it says, love one another fervently with a pure heart. The word fervent has heat attached to it. It means something that's hot. Something that is fervent, something that is boiling, like the urn at the back for tea and coffee, right? Just keep focused for a few more minutes, okay? God's saying for us, I want you to have a sincere love, a stretched out love for one another, a fervent love for one another. Love one another fervently with a pure heart. Now, a pure heart means you love a person not for what you can get, but what you can give. We're here to bless people, to sow the life of the kingdom into someone else's life. And it starts in this church. It starts in the church. It starts with us, with a household of faith. And God wants us to live in this way so that we're obeying the truth. The truth of God's word says, love one another fervently. Love one another sincerely, with a pure heart, because you've been born again by the word of God. In other words, you have the Spirit of the living God, the Holy Spirit living in you. It also means to strenuously reach out. In the same way that you'd run a race, if you're running to win, you're going to do it strenuously. So this is talking to us about being very active in our love for one another. And God has been speaking to us ever since we started, really, about love. And everything comes back to his love. And everything at the end of the day will all be about his love. And when we meet with the Lord on the day of judgment, the bottom line is it's all about his love and how much we've received of his love and how much we've given that love to others. Whether we've been living in this covenant love for one another. We're a covenant people. And God wants us to have this sincerity of love between us. We have a great message on a Sunday, but I know it's not going to happen here on a Sunday. It can start here on a Sunday. But the only way it will work is what we do the rest of the time out there during our week. And whether we're praying for one another. That's, for me, that's the first place that I love someone. Is I love them when I'm on my face or on my knees or sitting at my desk praying for people. That's where I love people to start with. But it's no good if it just stays in prayer. That love has got to come out in some way, whether it's giving someone a practical gift, whether it could be 101 different things, can't it? But we need to tune into God. The Holy Spirit will prompt you to love others and show you what to do in the way to love others. And there's a stretching out to do, because all of us have our comfort zones. Certain things that we do and we have our way of doing them, certain things that this is mine, this is my space. And God says, but I don't want you to just have your space. I want you to give some of your space away to others. Yes. It's called love. Amen. Sincere love. Strenuous love. Love that is reaching out. The love of Christ reached out to you and me and saved us. And he reached down and gave us the Holy Spirit. Amen. And the Holy Spirit is living in us this morning. And he's saying to us, church, I want you to come into a new season of my love. I thought you'd be excited about that this morning. I just knew it. I knew when I was praying this morning, you'd jump up and down in your seats. So excited about this. But you see, love is very simple and very real. Love, let's just read it. We're going to close with this. Go to 1 Corinthians 13. And we're just going to finish on this. About God's love. Because God rewards love with faith. Faith working through love. That's what the Bible says. Faith working through love. Faith works through love. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I've become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And by the way, when I think of us as a church, I always have a tremendous sense of his love. I know God's covenant love for each, for us as a people. And I get so encouraged when I see that love being outworked in lots of different ways between the members of the body here, members of the church here, both here and also what's happening at East Grinstead between the people there. And God gets very excited as well when he sees his love being released, the spirit of love being released out of our lives to others. Verse 2, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and knowledge, though I have all faith so I can remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love is patient. Love suffers long and is kind. We're talking about the love of God. We're talking about the love of Christ. But we're talking about the love of the Holy Spirit that's in you and me this morning. This love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. This love does not parade itself. It's not proud. It's not puffed up. This love does not behave rudely. This love does not seek its own. It's not after its own things. This love is never provoked. I'm talking about the love of God inside of us. This love thinks no evil. Is anyone feeling convicted this morning that they're not kind of living in the love of God the way that it should be? Me included. Love does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. This love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. This love never fails. Whether prophecies they will fail, whether their tongues they will cease, whether there's knowledge it will vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, and so on and so forth. But right at the end of the script, this chapter, verse 13, and now abides faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. And God is challenging us this morning, and your homework for this week is
love.
Don't just read 1 Corinthians 13 or 1 Peter 1 that we read just now, at verse 22, but put it into practice. Because God will mark us, and he does mark us, you know, because he says that he gives us rewards. God will mark us not what we said, but what we did. God will mark us by whether we did it in faith, faith working through love, whatever it is. And our God is very practical, and he loves us so much that he wants that release of his spirit of love, this morning to come through our lives and to bless one another in the week, to find ways in which we can love one another. John 17, this was a scripture, I know I said that was the last scripture, well, this is the other last scripture I had. Right, John 17 says this, it says, I don't pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they may be one in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. What does this love do? This love, even between two or three people outside there, somewhere, shows the world who Jesus is. That's what it's saying. People in the world have no idea about us being here at Maiden Bow. Some do, but not many do. But when we go out there on the high street, when we go out there in the town centre, when we go out to someone's house to help them and there's unsaved people there and they see even just two of us, talking and maybe laughing, maybe even praying or doing something together that's in the love of God, the world takes notice. And it's God's greatest advert. It's God's greatest advert. And this last move of the Holy Spirit has been poured out. The greatest thing about it is going to be full of his love. It'll have lots of other things, but the greatest thing is it'll have his love right the way through it, which will wash away so many barriers. It says that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. The glory which you gave me I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. What is this oneness? It's one in his love. It's being united together in his love. I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfectly one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Amen. See, this festival that Jerry and Rose are running, what's going to be the test of that love? Yes. When unsaved people come in, if they see believers working together and talking together and being together and the other things that God does in that time, If they see the love of God, it'll win people.
Amen.
When we have the baptisms later on that Sunday, right? It's just unfortunate that it landed up on the same day. But when we have baptisms, unsaved people who come into that atmosphere, well, the one thing that they notice is the love. Because they talk about it afterwards. God wants us to have a sincere, a reaching out love for one another. Let's all stand, shall we? We're going to finish. Thank you, Jesus. I just want us to sing that song, Jesus, I Love You, Jesus. And as you do, just, if you can, lift your hands and open your heart to the Lord. And make a fresh decision, a new decision this morning, that I'm not just going to love the Lord, but I'm going to love the Lord in the people next to me, the people in this church. I'm going to find new ways in which I can reach out with that love, because that love knows no limits. That love never fails, and that love is in you and is in me this morning. The spirit of love is in you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Jesus.